In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, June 9th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In another act of unspeakable cruelty, Islamic State militants burned 19 Yazidi girls to death in Mosul, Iraq earlier this week for refusing their sexual advances. 3,500 Yazidi women remain in captivity, according to the United Nations. Psalm 5:6 says, "You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." And now, reports of 4 dead and 5 wounded from a terrorist shooting yesterday in Tel Aviv, Israel. The police believe the attack was targeting Israelis. 2 terrorists have been detained. Palestinian attacks over 8 months have left 28 Israelis and 2 Americans dead. The UCLA professor shot and killed last week was a Christian father of 2 young children. World Magazine reports that Bill Klug was a graduate of Westmont College and taught mechanical engineering. Before he died, Klug testified that, quote, "Knowing there is a God responsible for the world makes a big difference in my motivation to understand it better," unquote. Evangelicals are hoping for 1 million attendees at the Together 2016 rally this July at the Washington Mall in D.C. And they're excited that the Roman Catholic Pope has agreed to join by video to, quote, "empower the church in America," unquote, and to awaken the culture to Jesus. Pope Francis will join with Hillsong, Francis Chan, Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Jeremy Camp, Michael W. Smith, and the Casting Crowns Band at the event. The transgender bathroom brouhaha is now heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. A Gloucester County, Virginia girl wants to use the boys' restroom at her local high school, and the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the girl and against the school district for violating Title IX. The county is appealing to the Supreme Court, according to the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Most of the 170-plus Christian colleges in America receive federal funding and are impacted by the same Title IX requirements. In a vote of 116-36, the Massachusetts House of Representatives passed a bill that would open public bathrooms to accommodate those who choose their own gender identity. The law would impact private businesses such as restaurants, movie theaters, bars, hotels, and other places of public accommodation. Revelation 17 says, "They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with Him are called and chosen and faithful." As she clinched the Democratic nomination for president by pledge delegate count this week, Hillary Clinton is capitalizing on a first-time achievement in the history of American politics.
"Thanks to you, we've reached a milestone. First time in our nation's history that a woman will be a major party's nominee."
Clinton emphasized recently at the Copenhagen Women Deliver Conference that abortion rights and gender equality must be core priorities in national and international politics. Also on Tuesday, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump took home all 5 of the remaining primaries, New Jersey, South Dakota, Montana, New Mexico, and California. Thus far, Trump has received over 13 million votes in the elections, more than any other candidate in Republican history, according to the Gateway Pundit. In an interview yesterday, Mr. Trump said he's narrowed down his vice presidential pick to 4 or 5 people. He's holding off his announcement, though, until the Republican convention in July. Pro-life candidate George Holding defeated Renee Elmers in North Carolina's 2nd Congressional District primary, a victory for conservatives. Renee Elmers, the defeated incumbent, nearly stopped a pro-life bill that would have banned abortion after 20 weeks back in 2015. Flood levels rose outside of Houston, Texas recently, but so did Christian charity. While thousands of homes have been evacuated, and the Texas governor declared 31 counties disaster areas, a faith-based group called Mercy Chefs has stepped in to bring physical and spiritual help to the many people in crisis. Gary LeBlanc, founder of Mercy Chefs, explains how they are helping the victims of the flooding.
We provide high-quality, chef-prepared, handcrafted meals. We aren't counting a peanut butter sandwich and a hot bottle of water as a meal just to run our meal counts up. We work really hard at providing the highest quality food in the field that's possible.
Isaiah 58:10 reminds us, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And that's The World View on this Thursday, June 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in Elbert County. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me. He's a homeschool father of six, also an elder of a church a little further north from us. Well, friends, today we've got interesting news with Hillary Clinton basically clinching the Democrat nomination for president of the United States just last night. She won something like four out of the five states in the Super Tuesday election, including the state of California. I don't think Bernie has a chance, although he still is hoping to get some superdelegates backing his campaign at the convention. But you know what I want to look at this morning, Steve, is the front page of Fox News or CNN. This time CNN. Sometimes it's Fox News, sometimes CNN. But what you see on the front page after an election, whether it be primary or general election, what you see on the front page is always what I would like to describe as euphoria. There is more euphoria on that front page than I would see on a Sunday morning worship service where people are gathering to worship the true and living God. I'm serious. Yeah. There is euphoria. You're looking at thousands of people, probably 20,000 people surrounding the next candidate for president of the United States, and they are euphoric.
Well, they're celebrating the God of their own making.
Oh, it's so, the new Messiah.
Right.
It's the new Messiah. And each election time, we get another Messiah with another bunch of hope. And let me go back to the Obama election of 2008. You remember the Obama Messiah of 2008? In fact, there were actually posters depicting him as the Messiah.
Videos.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, let me go back to his approval rating when he was elected as president of the United States. Here is Gallup. It follows this from 2008 all the way to the present day. So
are you
holding
that upside down?
No, I'm not. No. Okay. I want you to detail what happens. 2008, 2009, coming out of the gate, President Barack Obama is registering rather high, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, about 72-ish%.
72%.
Yeah.
Then what happens within about a year or two?
Well, according to that graph, it looks like it goes down significantly.
It went way, way, way down. So see, approval ratings for the Messiah don't do very well. After the euphoria wears out, of course, lots and lots of expectations of how well President Barack Obama or the next Messiah will do. So we start out at 72%. Yeah. We work our way down to roughly 40%. And then
it looks like it goes back up again.
Well, he gets reelected.
Oh,
so just a little infusion of hope there in 2012.
Yeah, they hope that it'll change.
Well, yes, there is. There is a hope for change.
Yeah.
Well, there was hope for change back in 2009. You remember that?
Oh,
see,
yeah,
there
yeah.
we are at 72%. Now, as you come to 2012 with a little bit more hope for change in the 2012 election, doesn't spike as high. We're up to 57%, and then we sink back down into the low 40s. All right, so that's what happens to each additional Messiah who gets elected as president of the United States. Lots and lots of hope, my friends, on the part of those who trust in their princes and chariots. Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You know, also, before we take a break, remember the recent poll of Republicans and Democrats, and the question asked, I can't remember if it was Gallup or some other poll, but they asked this question, very interesting, are the best days for America still ahead? Very interesting question, and the difference between the Republicans and Democrats, really, really significant, friends. 59% of Democrats, yes, they believe that the best days are ahead for the United States of America. 41% of Republicans and 33% of Tea Parties.
Now, what's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats? Well, the Republicans are far less optimistic for the future of this nation. The Democrats, very, very optimistic. And that's why the Republicans are losing. That's why the Tea Partiers are losing. Because, friends, they're losing their optimism. And, of course, we have been losing the cultural battles for a very long time. The Democrats are happy. Of course they're happy. They're happy because they've won the abortion battle. They've won the government-funded abortifacient battle. They are killing as many babies as they want to. They won the homosexual battle, the homosexual marriage battle, the feminist battles, the transgender battles. What can possibly go wrong? Are you with me here? They've won all these battles. They have the smile of the devil upon them. God must not exist. They've gotten away with this much evil. They are on their game, baby. They've won the battles, each and every one of them. That's why the Democrats are on their game. They're optimistic, and that's one reason why they are winning. They're winning the cultural battle, so of course they're winning the political battles. Now, also, the Democrats believe that the state will save them. The Republicans aren't so epistemologically self-conscious on that particular issue. So that's the other issue you got to remember. The Democrats, by definition, are statist or socialist. They believe that the state will save them. And so each additional candidate that runs and claims to be the Messiah, the Democratic population believes it, and they vote enthusiastically for big government and for big statist. That slavish trust in government, that state worship, is what gets their candidate elected every time. All right, we'll be back in just a moment to review Hillary Clinton and her capturing of the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve on in studio with me as well.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. It's Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn in studio with us. As the Democrats are celebrating, friends, they are on their game. They're doing very well. They're winning the cultural battles. They've won the homosexual battles, the feminist battles, the transgender battles, the abortion battles. They are optimistic, and they believe in themselves. They believe the state can save them. So socialism is the way that they go. They trust the state, and that slavish trust is what gets the candidate elected every time. Republicans tend not to be slavish, statist. And they're losing. Americans are increasingly trusting in big government to save them. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. Americans trust in horses. Americans trust in chariots. But there are still some who trust in the Lord our God. Now, the second reason for the euphoria on the front page of CNN.com this morning is that the glass ceiling is busted. In fact, this was the major story. The story was not that Hillary Clinton is clinching the Democrat nomination. The story was that the glass ceiling is busted. I'm not sure where the glass ceiling came from. But remember, Palin used that several years ago.
Right.
And now Hillary Clinton copying Palin in that she won the presidential nomination. And this is the first woman to win the major nomination for the leading office in the land in the history of the country. And so, of course, there's much, much celebration in the land. But you know what? It's very hard to get around Isaiah 3 and verse 12. Even as she gives her grand speeches, and perhaps you heard those speeches this morning, she spoke of the whole battle beginning in Seneca Falls in 1848. She's standing there in New York and celebrating the 150-year battle to equal rights, women achieving exactly what men achieve, and the fight for equal roles in society at every single level. That, of course, has been waged in politics, been waged in the business world, it's been waged in the church, and that's why so many denominations have moved towards ordaining women elders and women pastors. Now, it's very, very hard for us to get around Isaiah 3 and verse 12, and I know some would say we don't want to use the word of God to establish ethics, that is, to define our right and wrong, good and evil, but the word of God does just that. Now, we distinguish, or I distinguish, the difference between right and wrong and good and evil. There are instances in which women have to lead because men can't. So there's opportunities for women to lead in politics at points. We understand that, but there's still a strong indication of something negative going on when women are forced to lead. And that's what we read in Isaiah 3 and verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Hard to get past that. There's certainly a prophetic announcement that at the point that women and children lead a country, lead a nation, lead an empire, the empire is on its way down. Now, there's, of course, 100,000 other indications this empire is within about 2.5 years of collapsing. And we've reviewed those from time to time on this radio program. So should be no doubt in your mind that this empire is coming down. In fact, it's already destroyed itself socially, economically, and a few other ways. Now, politically, it may take another year and a half, but here's what Isaiah 3:12 says. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Now, it's interesting. The two leading candidates for president of the United States right now happen to be, number one, candidate number one happens to be a woman, or at least looks like a woman. The other candidate looks like or acts very much like a child. He talks about his private organs in public. He has a really hard time controlling his mouth, and he has a really hard time saying, I'm sorry I made that racist comment. So we have a child and we have a woman, and they are competing for the highest office of the land. Now, the left is looking at what has just happened, and they're saying, isn't this just so beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? We have homosexuality throughout the land. We have abortion. We have a national debt that's beyond anything we've ever seen. We've imploded our birth rates. We've killed 80 million babies. We have 80 million retired baby boomers. And the worker to retiree ratio will be one third of what it was in 1950, 20 years from now. We have women and children leading the nation. What can possibly go wrong? That's the way our nation is looking at it, and that's the reason for the euphoria in New York State last night as Hillary Clinton clinches the Democrat nomination for president of the United States. It's interesting. The perspectives are quite different, Steve, but of course we come at it from a biblical perspective. When we see a nation torn apart by social implosions, by birth implosions, by the destruction of sexuality, by the depersonalization of sexuality, by the destruction of marriage, by the national approval of the most decadent, perverse form of sexuality that man has ever come up with, you got to say there's something wrong with the nation. But the other side is saying, no, there's something very right with the nation because we are homosexualized, because we are feminized, because we have a national debt that is largest larger than anything any country or any nation or any empire has ever seen in the history of the world. For these reasons, the left or the mass of Americans are thrilled. They're excited about the dry rot that's destroying the nation.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that most people think that the word of God is up for a vote and that the existence of God is there whether, you know, dependent upon what we believe or don't believe. And so if most people don't believe God exists, then maybe God doesn't exist. But it's everything they think is up for a vote. So if we vote for ourselves, if we vote for our own largesse from the government, they say, well, you know, God doesn't exist because we didn't vote for God. We didn't vote that God existed. We didn't vote on God's word, and therefore it's irrelevant. The problem is that facts are funny things. When God says something, it's true. And the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is truth. And whatever God says will come about, whether you like it or not.
You know, Steve, there's little doubt in my mind that Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States. And I say that because, well, the poster child for the Republicans. Republicans are a house divided against itself. The leading Republican in the U.S. Congress has been doing his best to try to endorse the Republican candidate for president of the United States, but he keeps correcting him on quote-unquote racist comments and so forth. So there's not a lot of enthusiasm. There's not a lot of unity in the other party. So Hillary Clinton doing very well, very strongly in the present elections, and by the providence of God, by the sovereign hand of God, by the sovereign appointment of God, it appears that she will be the next president of the United States. So,
and even 71% of the people are saying that even if she's indicted, that they would still vote for her.
Yeah.
71%.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter that she's in trouble in many different ways. People don't care.
The people get the president they deserve. They get the president that matches their worldview and their present condition. So really, politics is just a derivative of what's happening in the culture. But on the issues, I think we all ought to know that Hillary Clinton is pro-abortion. She's pro-homosexual. She wants to raise taxes. She makes no bones about that. She wants a universal socialist healthcare program. She's anti-gun, and I think probably a little more so than previous Democrats. And she plans to bring about a number of gun bans. She's also called the Indiana RFRA a sad, sad development. So say goodbye to religious freedoms under President Hillary Clinton, who will probably appoint the next 2 to 3 Supreme Court justices of the United States. Now I want to draw a distinction between Ahab and Jezebel. I think this will be helpful to understand the present milieu. So I want to go back to 1 Kings, where we learn about Ahab and Jezebel and the development concerning the eminent domain case of Naboth's vineyard. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Ahab wanted the vineyard. He was the ultimate socialist, the ultimate communist. He wanted to confiscate Naboth's vineyard, but didn't have the guts to do it. Now, so you've got to understand something of the difference between Ahab and Jezebel, and I think this will be helpful to understand the present milieu. Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. So that was the problem, you see, for Ahab. Ahab wanted the vineyard, Naboth was standing in the way. He lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I will give you another vineyard for it. He answered, I will not give you my vineyard. Then Jezebel said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, get up, okay? Eat food, let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She wrote the letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with a seal, sent the letters to the elders, the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Ahab, setting up the false witnesses, accusing Naboth of blasphemy, and getting the whole stoning execution of Naboth going. Okay, so again, a woman of action. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And I believe that Hillary Clinton is going to get things done.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point. My point is, I believe she's more competent than her husband was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She knows what she wants. She knows how to get it. I mean, the similarities between Bill and Hillary and Ahab and Jezebel are pretty striking with, you know, fake land deals and, you know, all kinds of things. Yeah.
All right. So, friends, you know, you want to know what President Hillary Clinton will look like. I think you'll get a feel for it from some of these Old Testament stories. It is ironic that America, at least the Republicans, weren't interested in an insider, but they're probably going to get the ultimate insider, the ultimate establishment candidate who's ever run for president of the United States, and that is Hillary Clinton. She is the insider of insiders. It seems to me, friends, that Hillary Clinton is the ultimate establishment candidate, and that's what America's going to get. You know, Jeb Bush just tweeted this. It's interesting. I just throw this out. This is a tweet from Jeb Bush, who ran for president,
yes,
governor of Florida, okay, a Republican. All right, this is what he just tweeted. Maybe Donald negotiated a deal with his buddy Hillary Clinton. Continuing this path will put her in the White House. That's wow. Jeb Bush this morning on tweet. Okay. Washington Post covered this and says there's no doubt that Trump is a hand grenade launched in the middle of a crowded Republican field. Once one whose controversial comments about Muslims, immigrants, women, among many other subjects, have proven popular with the party's base, even as the Donald's rivals try to distance themselves from them. Washington Post also reminds us that Trump gave at least $105,000 to the Clinton Foundation, and just weeks before Donald Trump declared his candidacy, he placed a personal phone call with former President Bill Clinton. So just those items are of interest to Republicans and to the Washington Post and, of course, to Jeb Bush as well. Well, as we close this program, let me just point ourselves back to what is happening to the nation. America is in love with its own dry rot. America loves its national debt. America loves its abortion. America loves its contraceptives, abortifacients paid for by government dollars. America loves the fact that we've killed 80 million babies since 1960, launching a birth implosion in which we're not exactly sure how we're going to provide for 80 million retiring baby boomers in 2030. America's in love with her homosexuality, her feminism, her abortion, her national debt, all of the dry rot that God is using to destroy the nation. This is the great irony of the day. It reminds me a little bit of Revelation chapter 18. Let me close with this very important passage from Revelation 18. I'm not saying this is the final fulfillment of Revelation chapter 18, but there's an application here. Let me read from Revelation chapter 18, first few verses. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Babylon the great has fallen again. It has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This is a great illustration of all the empires that seem to come down time and time again, especially as they're dominated by humanists, as they're controlled by sexual sin and eventually become the means by which God's people are persecuted. And that's, of course, what we're seeing in this country, a repetition of what happened in Rome some 2,000 years ago under Nero, and, of course, many other illustrations of that throughout world history. But these great empires, they become very, very proud. They become very, very connected to their sexual sin, and the kings of the earth make fornication with these great nations. They make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb inevitably overcomes them again and again throughout history because, of course, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's head of all things to the church. He is sure that the right person, by according to his ordination, is elected as president of the United States. God stuffs the ballot boxes, and he does so again and again, empire after empire, administration after administration. God stuffs the ballot boxes, and I'm sure the Democratic populace is probably not all that thrilled that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sovereign over all things. But what is our responsibility according to this Revelation 18 passage? Come out from among them, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Come out of her culture. Come out of her politics. Come out of her worldviews. Come out of her schools. Develop your own Christ-centered schools, your own Christ-centered discipleship centers. Develop your own family life. Develop your own medical systems. Develop your own culture. Develop your own approach to all of these aspects of life. Come out of her and do something different. Establish islands of culture, islands of freedom. Develop your own systems. Come out from among them. And of course, at the very least, don't participate in her sins. And so you won't receive her sexually transmitted diseases. That's just one application. But I just bring these things out to you, my friends, because we have an approach to take. As the empires collapse again and again, the Church of Jesus Christ always emerges as victorious. Always, always, always. The kingdom of Jesus continues on as the empires fall. And this is just another empire to collapse. And we report on the collapse of this empire in my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, as we have for the last 14 years. Indeed, another empire coming down. No surprise. That's what happened to the Roman Empire. That's what happened to the Spanish Empire, the French Empire, the English Empire, and now the American Empire coming down, even as we speak. But friends, don't participate in their sins. Come out from them. Be separate and don't receive of her plagues. Repent of these national sins. And wherever these national sins are evident in your own life, repent of these sins. And trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, because he came to save us from these sins. And yes, as the world passes away in the lust thereof, remember, he that does the will of the Father shall abide forever. And we'll leave you on that note on this edition of the Generations broadcast. If you'd like a little more background on why this is finally happening, while we're finally coming to the consummation of the destruction of the Western world, you need to read the whole story of it in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Again, the book Apostate, the story on how the Western world imploded. That story is found in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.